And good morning. We are back with the Victoria Steele Show, and boy, do I have a surprise for you all this morning. Can you hear me this morning, John? Did your headphones get fixed? Last week he couldn't hear me. Ah, he's there.
I'm here.
Good morning. I forgot to tell you I was going to bring you in. Yeah. But it's exciting. Very exciting stuff.
Definitely.
Yes. We have Jimmy Zuma's in the house.
Woo! Yeah, that's a great welcome.
Do we have you on the microphone? I can't hear you very well. Do we have Jimmy on? Yeah,
talk. Yeah, I'm very happy. You are. Okay, great.
Oh, welcome back.
Very happy to be here. That's a terrific, terrific welcome.
Isn't that great? And we have both John and me going, woo!
I'd like to point out that we're in what is obviously at least $100,000 studio, and John is using his earbuds to hear us today.
It works.
John, what the heck happened to your headphones, dear?
I don't know. I think I dropped them or something. Who knows? Who knows?
That's all right. It's still, no matter how fancy the studio gets,
yeah,
it is still the magic of radio.
Absolutely.
You have, you know, tin cans and string.
Yeah.
And you fake it. Everything else is just, you make it work. It's magic. That's what I love about radio.
Yeah.
And John has been there every step of the way to help us create magic as we're, how do you like these new digs?
Oh, this place is super fancy.
This is
probably at least as good as any studio I've ever been in the country, including in Washington, D.C., where they spend money on stuff like this.
Yeah.
This studio is terrific.
I've never been in such a fancy schmancy studio.
How about it?
This is like top of the line stuff.
Yeah.
So Amador Bustos, who is the new owner of KVOI and the other station, which I don't remember what it is, but it's a
good one.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. 106 point something.
Yes.
106.3. That's it.
That's
and they play like the groove.
The groove. There you go.
Yeah. They play those old songs from the 60s and the 70s.
Such a good era.
And disco and funk and rhythm and blues. And I love it. Anyway, so Amador Bustos now owns this station and that station.
Yeah.
And it is just, The studios that they have created out of this sort of warehouse building is just incredible.
They're phenomenal. You can't find any flaw in them. And, you know, Amador and his brother own the company Bustos Media.
Yeah.
And Amador is on the board of the National Association of Broadcasters,
ooh,
which is a pretty elite level of...
Yes,
radio,
that's very
broadcaster.
Cool.
Yeah,
very cool. Well, I love this studio. It's really pretty cool. So I will say more about it next time I'm here, but next Saturday morning will be my last day with the radio station. I've decided to go sort of a different direction. You'll still be able to hear the show, but it will be podcast only. And I love it here. I absolutely love it here. And we'll talk more about that next time. But I did want to mention that there will be some changes. You won't be able to hear me on Saturday mornings on this radio station. But we will continue the show, but in a different venue. And the best part of it is... Jimmy's going to join me.
That's right.
Yes, it's going
That's
to be right. the I don't know what we're going to call it yet, but it's going to be you and me,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to do this together, and I'm so psyched about that.
Yeah,
That's
and I hope you'll
so
look
cool.
at today as a kind of indicator of what you might hear. You know, we're going to be covering a lot of national news.
That's right.
Integrating it with Arizona politics and Arizona news. And
that's right.
We'll be talking about the most interesting thing we read that day to give you a tip on something you should look up.
Yep.
And we'll have lots of other specials.
So we want you to join us today because today is going to be all Mueller all the time. And so it is Mueller time on the Victoria Steele Show today. We would like you to join in this conversation. So we will give you the number here. It's 520. I'm squinting. I can't do anything without my glasses. 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in and just enjoy the conversation. You don't have to be well informed on this issue. And I will tell you honestly, you know, this is something that I've only paid attention to peripherally because I've been so focused mm-hmm. on all things at the state legislature. This is what I've been doing. This has all been this tight you know, looking at the bills that I'm working right. on and dealing with those sorts of things. And I absolutely love what I do, but I've been a little out of the loop on the Mueller stuff, on the international and national scene. So this is why, Jimmy, we got you here.
Right.
And we're going to be talking that.
And in terms of background, I'll be doing the research on the national stories for the most part.
Excellent.
And I got up Thursday morning at 6 a.m. so I could hear that ridiculous press conference by Bob Barr, which was really a shameful use of the Department of Justice logo.
Yeah. I mean, he was PR for Trump.
Right.
I mean, this is just like terrified of losing his job type of PR.
Right.
Like,
right.
he ruined, I mean, from what I understand, Barr has had a stellar career and has done really good things and, for the most part, has been an upstanding, unbiased, you know, straight ahead. You can count on him
right.
for the straight scoop on something. And this just blew that out of the water. Why would he want to do that to his own career at the end of it?
Well, you know, he's done this before, though. He doesn't have a completely clean career.
Oh,
he
okay.
engineered the cover-up of Iran-Contra that protected George Bush from his involvement in
Good
it.
Good grief.
And George Bush gave a series of pardons that essentially shut down that investigation before Cap Weinberger, the Secretary yeah. of Defense, was to go to trial. And by having all those pardons issued and by the media strategy they used, Bill Barr created an umbrella for George W. Bush the older.
Yeah.
And so this is not his first rodeo. Since that time, he has developed a level of respect. I like to say he now has the reputation he always deserved.
Which is now what is his reputation?
His name is Mud.
Yeah. Pretty
I mean,
much.
I think throughout the country, now people that want to have a cover up in Congress are very happy with the job that Mueller is trying to do.
Right.
He's been an utter failure at shilling for Trump. Now, we know that all six of the times he talked about this report before he came out, he was telling obvious and flat-out lies.
Well, this was the whole time I'm listening, you know, I woke up and I was like, okay, this is going to be on any second now. And I'm waiting and they're a few minutes late. And then he comes on. Holy cow. I wish I could roll my eyes louder.
Right.
It was just like, oh, brother, are you kidding me?
Right.
No. This is ridiculous. Oh, my God. So he drew this picture of, well, you got to understand, President Trump is, you know, I mean, he was just in office and this really distracted from his ability to do his job.
Right,
and
he was upset.
And poor thing, he was upset. This bothered him.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't be too hard on him. Well, and of course, he's not guilty of anything. He was just upset.
When he engaged in a cover-up,
really?
It was because he was, you know, upset about it. So I'm going to try that next time. You know, I get arrested. I don't know what it will be for, but I'm going to just say I was upset.
I was upset. Yes,
yeah.
That'll
yeah,
work.
As I said, that was a terrible use of the Justice Department logo. That press conference should have been done under the Trump logo because it was a Trump organization thing. Now, one of the things Bill Barr did is he took the middle of a sentence out of context where Mueller said he didn't find the president guilty of conspiracy with the Russians. He took the middle of that sentence where Mueller said, I did not find the president guilty of conspiracy, and he left out the front and the back, which said there's ample evidence and a future investigation may, in the future, he may be charged either by Congress or by future prosecutors.
Because is it true? I've been hearing various people say this, that if it was Mr. Trump instead of President Trump, he'd be in trouble right now.
Well, I think that's true. I think that if he was Mr. Trump, he would have been subpoenaed. He would have been forced to testify. And I believe ultimately he would have been charged. And
yeah.
I think there's certainly enough information in this document to believe that, though not proven, a conspiracy existed. And though Trump's connection to that conspiracy is not proven, there's plenty of conspiracy-related information. Mueller found everything related to conspiracy to have a conspiracy short of prior intent. He was unable to prove prior intent, which is an element of a conspiracy charge. I got to say, I'm amused when Republicans keep hanging on to this no collusion thing, no collusion, no collusion, because the report is full of collusion, which is another element of a conspiracy crime. It's not a crime in itself, but there's ample evidence of cooperation between the Trump administration and
Russia.
I'll just give you two examples.
Okay.
One is that the Trump campaign shared their polling data, internal polling data, with Russian agents.
Yeah.
And they knew they were sharing it with Russian agents. Paul Manafort did it, who knows probably all of the bad players in Russia. They deliberately shared it in order to, I believe, coordinate their campaign and their campaign strategy. And that played out another way. The Russians specifically targeted minors. And they did it with memes, and they did it with outreach to minors, and they did it with trying to get...
And when you're talking about minors, you're talking about
children.
The people that work in coal mines.
Right. And they in the
coal
report,
miners.
In the report is a specific meme that they promoted with the picture of a coal miner with coal on his face and a hard hat and, mm-hmm. you know, just totally decked out to go mining. And they were trying to gin up outrage among coal miners at the same time the Trump campaign was crafting their strategy to feature coal miners.
And I got to tell you, that was actually incredibly effective.
Right.
Because my dad and my grandfathers worked in coal mines.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very sympathetic to the plight of the coal mining industry. They
right.
really are. You know, my dad is,
mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of discussions about that. That really, that was a low blow. That was dirty.
Yeah, that was really dirty, and it was really coordinated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were both pursuing two sides of the same strategy.
Mm-hmm.
I do think coal miners have been looking for the magic solution to their problems for probably 100 years now. So they are more susceptible to somebody that comes in and says, I'll take care of all of it.
Right.
You'll get back to the life you never had.
And has that happened? Has that happened?
No, actually, coal is, you know, we're getting ready to knock down in December,
mm-hmm.
Navajo Power Plant, which
right.
has its own dedicated coal mine.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the largest one in the country.
Yep, it
is. I was
is.
Just there.
Yep.
It's running
Mesa.
At a third of its current capacity now. And everybody in Page who didn't work with it, the tourism industry is looking to see it knocked down.
Okay. We're going to come back and talk more with Jimmy Zuma on the subject of Mueller and the that report that he put out. Fascinating stuff. If you'd like to join us, give us a call, 520-790-2040, and we'll be back with more on KVOI, The Voice. And we're back with the Victoria Steele Show and my guest co-host, Jimmy Zuma. And so glad to have you back. Jimmy I should probably just bring you all up to speed in case you, because we haven't had him on for a little while and I've missed him. Everybody has been so excited that you're coming back to the show and it's great.
Well,
great to have you back.
And I am excited to be back.
Yeah, it's so cool. You hang out in Washington, D.C. all the time and I've just decided that is no excuse. You're just as smart in D.C. as you are here and we want you on the show, so I'm glad you're here.
Great.
Jimmy's a journalist. He's a friend. We both have work in the counseling, you know, background type of
human
thing.
Human services.
Human
right.
services, and so yeah, we totally relate on a lot of different areas, and I love your perspective. That's why you're here, and I want to get you to what before we do this. I just want to take a break and say thank you so much to the sponsors who have been with me since I started this show.
Right.
Six months ago, we started this show. And we've had the Glue Factory.
Mm-hmm.
I love those folks. They
yeah.
are so engaged in the community. They, you know, I'm with them from the heart.
Right.
You know, I love these people. Mesquite Interiors. Rudy is the guy that owns Mesquite Interiors. And what he'll do is he'll pull a old piece of wood,
mm-hmm.
mesquite, from a river or a stream or from the desert, and he will create a work of art.
Make it absolutely beautiful for your home.
Oh, absolutely exquisite. I've been in his store. I've seen him. And once when I was out walking door to door, when I was out campaigning, he asked if he could go along. Mm-hmm. He had not done that sort of thing and wanted to see what it was like. And so we're walking in the foothills in the Tucson foothills or the Catalina foothills and in the district. And we come up to this gorgeous house. And I said, you know what? I'm not sure that this is on my list. I'm not sure. And he goes, I'm glad we're here because see that door? And I said, yeah, it's gorgeous. He goes, I made it. And I said, are you kidding me? It was an amazing door. I'd never seen a door look like that. And it was so cool. Beautiful. Looked like it was heavy and just gorgeous. And one of a kind type of thing.
One of the terrific signatures of Tucson is a beautiful wooden door. And he can certainly do it for you.
Oh, God, he sure did. And then, of course, there's my buddy, Stephen Fortell.
Our buddy.
All right, I'll share him. He shows up with his even in the dead of winter, he'd show up with his motorcycle uniform on. He's the motorcycle helmet.
We're both riders, so I can relate to that.
Oh, you too?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. See, that is something I didn't know about you.
I once founded a motorcycle riding school.
Wow. Yeah. God. I grew up in the back of my dad's motorcycle.
Oh, great.
I rode, he mostly did trail bikes. And one time, I tease him. He tried to kill me. So one time we were driving down through the middle of town in this little town in Franklin, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and he sees his buddies and he decides to show off because he's a bit of a ham. He's a bit of a show off. And you know, he's in his 30s probably, and I was just a little girl, and I'm on the back, and he would always say that he would forget that I was there. And on this day, he forgot that and he does this wheelie through the middle of the intersection with all of his friends going, ah! He forgot that his little girl was on the back of the motorcycle.
My story about that is my daughter, Emma, I took her for a ride on my motorcycle.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was hanging on behind me and having a good time, it seemed like. And we were riding all around, and I got home. And I said, how'd you like it, Emma, your first ride on a motorcycle? And she said, I liked it, Dad. You know, it got a little boring and I fell asleep.
Well, you know, the stories that I could tell about my dad and I on the motorcycles.
Yeah.
Holy moly. I just, you know, he can't ride the motorcycles these days. He's in his 80s. But, you know, his eyes light up when you talk about the bikes.
Yeah.
Just, you know, you just see it. I so wish that he could. All right. So you can join our show today. Join our conversation. We're not going to be talking about motorcycles anymore.
We didn't really finish talking about Steven. He's the guy I'm going to call when I get arrested and I tell the cops I was in a bad mood. I was upset. The second thing I'm going to do is call Stephen Portelli.
Because Stephen Portell is this amazing attorney. Mm-hmm. If you're in trouble, you want Steve on your side.
Right.
He's a cool dude. He's just so cool. And
well known
fighter.
In the courts.
Yes. Yes.
And, well respected.
And he's also a judge. Mm-hmm. And he's the coolest ever.
But he does a lot of camping, which I understand he's doing right now.
Right. We wanted him to be on to talk about some of these things from a legal perspective. We're talking about it from a journalistic perspective. We wanted Steve to come on and tell us, okay, here's this. But he's with his wife right now in the Chiricahuas. So it's like, okay, I get it. You're having fun. You don't have good reception in the Chiricahuas. Okay.
His one flaw is he definitely likes to make people jealous on Facebook from all his beautiful places he goes.
I know.
Almost every weekend, I think.
I know. There have been several times where I wanted him on the show. He said, oh, no, I'm going to be deep in this mountain gorge. And I was like, all right. Okay. So here were some of the things I was going to ask Stephen, but you can ask, I can ask you, because you probably have done your homework on this. There's some things that I am not clear of, and I'm sure that some of our listeners are not clear on. So I want some basic definition. We're hearing collusion.
Right.
We're hearing conspiracy. Obstruction, impeachment. What is collusion? Because Trump has been saying there is no collusion. There never has been. There never will be. There's no collusion. And I'm totally exonerated. So I want to know, what is the word collusion?
Right.
What's it mean?
Well, collusion in the legal sense is not a crime. It's not a crime to collude with someone. It is a crime to conspire with someone. And that's what Robert Mueller investigated. We'll talk about conspiracy in a minute. But collusion is the act of usually secretly cooperating to achieve an end. And most often it's a nefarious end.
Yeah.
In this case, this report is actually full of collusion. It's jam-packed with collusion.
But it's not illegal to collude.
It's an element of a conspiracy. Collusion is an element of conspiracy. There are several elements, though, collusion being one.
So and he's full of baloney when he says there's no collusion.
There's a lot more collusion than there is legal conspiracy.
All right. This is just Trump being Trump and saying things to totally distract people from what's really happening.
It's the old propaganda tactic of repeat, repeat, repeat. He's been repeating this term for years until it's an earwig for all of us. But it's factually not true. The report is full of collusion, including, the sharing of campaign data with the Russians, including the both of them designing a campaign for minors, which we already talked about.
Yeah.
And several other elements.
All right. So what is conspiracy? Is that illegal?
Conspiracy is basically the secret agreement to commit a crime. And basically what happened in this case is Robert Mueller found every element of conspiracy except the prior agreement. He wasn't able to prove that there was a prior agreement to collude for a nefarious purpose. And that's why he didn't charge conspiracy, because he couldn't find evidence of this final element of a conspiracy charge. But everything else related to conspiracy is there, and it's in black and white for you to read.
So here's something that I don't understand. Why didn't Mueller make a statement? Why didn't he come out and say this guy is guilty of this? This is
right.
Why did he stop short of that?
Well,
because it seems like that it's there.
He had a very interesting and fair perspective on it. And what he said was it wasn't fair to Trump, President Trump, to state that he was a criminal when he couldn't actually be charged and defend himself.
You cannot legally indict a sitting president.
Yeah, you actually can legally do it. It's a Justice Department memo that their policy is that they don't charge a sitting president. And, they have an okay reason for it. I don't think it really holds up to the every man is no man is above the law standard, which I think is a much more important one. But the Justice Department does not charge presidents with a crime. And Robert Mueller said, I can't label him as a criminal because I can't charge him as a criminal. And if I can't charge him as a criminal, he doesn't have the ability to defend himself.
So, wow, that's very convoluted, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Do we just sit back and take this? I mean, is he literally above the law?
Well, Robert Mueller said a couple of specific things. He was very clear in saying in the sentence that Bill Barr chopped up into little pieces that it was up to Congress to charge the president. He basically said Congress can remedy this problem through the impeachment process. And in another part of the report, he said after the president is out of office, then the Justice Department can complete the investigation that he started and decide whether Trump should be charged with a crime. He no longer has immunity the day he's not president.
So we need to work to make sure that that happens.
Right, right. That there needs to be a follow through. Now, usually in the United States, we don't follow through on things that the president did after he leaves office.
Right.
But in this case, I think we have an imperative to finish this investigation, interview Trump and interview his family.
Speaking of his family, so what about all of those other related third parties, like his sons and his daughter and other folks? Does it show that they did anything wrong?
Yes. There was collusion that when Trump Jr. engaged in the meeting to get dirt on Hillary Clinton, knowing it was with the Russians, that was collusion. That was an element of collusion.
But it's not illegal.
Well, it would be illegal if he found that they had a prior agreement to conspire. That's the only thing that was missing from the case.
They just haven't found it. Doesn't mean there's no prior agreement to conspire.
Right.
Just they haven't found it
yet. He wasn't able to find it. And in his view, if he subpoenaed the president, it would just take too long. You know, there would be a 3-year court battle and still no resolution. And I think he wanted to complete his work in a timely fashion to inform the American people of what he found.
Okay. And so we're going to talk more about that.
And then there's Jared Kushner.
Oh, okay. Oh, we're definitely going to talk more about that.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I'd like to hear from you, our listeners. Do you think we should start impeachment processes that, you know, the Congress, should they do this? And we'll be right back with more on the Victoria Steele Show. And we are back with the Victoria Steele Show and my guest co-host, Jimmy Zuma. And we are talking all things Mueller Report. And so you just mentioned Kushner, and you did it in a way that made me think that there was more there than what I was aware of. So what are you saying about his son-in-law, the president's son-in-law?
Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump's husband, the president's daughter's husband, was also involved in a conspiracy. You know, he was involved in the Russian conspiracy, as was Paul Manafort and other members of the campaign. But he was also involved in direct dealings with Russia, both related to Trump Tower and other things that remain to be seen. And Alpha Bank was deep involved in that. And Alpha Bank was the, you know, had the server that pinged Trump Tower. The two places it pinged were Trump Tower and Betsy DeVos's company. And at the time, you know, it was explained away as a weird conspiracy, but in retrospect, or as a weird coincidence, but in retrospect, it looks dirty. Jared also had, there's another part of this whole conspiracy investigation that Mueller wasn't impaneled to follow, and that's that Saudi Arabia was also involved in a big disinformation campaign in the United States during the election. And that's the one that Jared Kushner was involved with. We don't know if he committed a crime, but he was involved in coordination with the Saudis. That's yet to be investigated. I think that's one of the spinoff investigations.
So this report was basically in two parts. The first part was...
The first part was conspiracy. They investigated conspiracy and found that they had all the elements of a conspiracy except for that they couldn't prove a prior agreement. So that's the part that when Trump says no collusion, but that section, couple hundred page section, is filled with collusion, evidence of collusion.
All right. And then the second part is?
Is the obstruction investigation, which was an outgrowth of the Russia investigation where there is clear evidence that Trump... deliberately obstructed justice. And there's not, you know, again, we're going with the dummy exemption here. There wasn't evidence that he knew he was obstructing justice, but there were at least 10 examples that they gave of when he did. And all the times we thought the president was acting up and being weird to Russia, he was. You know, remember, this is the president who... went in a meeting. He only wanted his translator. The Russians brought all of their people. And his translator took notes. And that's a common thing. The translator takes notes so they can be shared with other members of the administration so they know what happened. Trump took those notes and I guess he destroyed them. We've never seen them since.
Huh. Well, we've got a caller online wants to join the conversation this morning. Chris, welcome to the Victoria Steele Show.
Hi, Chris.
Yes, good morning. I was wondering, are you guys going to address the issue of Greg Craig getting indicted? Are you going to touch upon that at all?
The Democrat who was involved in the Ukraine thing?
Yeah, it seems like that was the only indictment that actually came out of the Mueller report that actually had to do with any collusion or conspiracy.
Oh, that's so far. Yeah.
And I'll wait your response off the air. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, well, he was involved, and there may also have been... Podesta people involved in the dealings in Ukraine. That's a really separate thing from this investigation. And what that was led by Manafort. Manafort conducted a disinformation and influence campaign in the United States to have Russia be able to take a portion of Ukraine for itself. And the only way that plays into this is during the campaign, the Trump administration got a change in the Republican platform that took the part out that condemned Russia for attacking and taking over a portion of Ukraine.
All right. So we've had, in this Mueller investigation, we've actually seen guilty pleas from five of President Trump's closest advisors, and we've seen indictments against 34 people.
Right, and including a large portion of Russians, and including Maria Butina. She's involved in this, too.
Yeah, and we know that President Trump has not been cleared of wrongdoing. So this week, yesterday, we heard from Elizabeth Warren, Senator Warren running for president. Yesterday was the first presidential candidate, and then others have followed, the first to say, we need to start impeachment proceedings against Trump. Talk to me about the realism of that. Is that possible? I mean, is it possible that he could be impeached?
There's an interesting question. There's an element of a moral question, a question of their constitutional responsibility, a question of how it will hurt or help their electoral chances, and whether or not the Republican Senate will be shamed into completing the impeachment.
Well, see, it seems to me that Mueller didn't want this to go on a whole lot longer because it was going to be usurped. Perhaps he could have been fired, or, you know, Barr probably would have gone there. Mm-hmm. He knew that time was running out. He needed to get something out.
Get something to Congress.
Right. And
that's what Barr's trying to prevent now.
Right. And it looks like he gave them a blueprint.
Well, he basically said, Congress, it's up to you to remedy this problem.
Interesting.
Yeah, he basically said his role was to, he saw his role, since he couldn't charge the president, his job was to collect, evaluate, and preserve evidence of a crime.
All right.
And he said it's up to Congress to take the next step.
All right. So we have a caller on the line. Let's go to Liz on the Victoria Steele Show. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning. Listen, I have two things to say. First of all, I'd like to say something about Bill Barr's press conference.
Yes.
And that's that I found it absolutely incredibly insulting to the citizens of the country, and I found it incredibly insulting, moreover, to Congress, because it was very obvious that Mueller expected that report to go to Congress. And instead, Barr took it upon himself to disseminate it to the general public and the media at the same time, simultaneously, as Congress. And Congress should have gotten that report first.
Well, it's worse. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's my first thing I have to say.
Can I interrupt you 1 second before you go to your second thing?
You bet.
It was worse than that. The report was put on the website for the general public, but it was delivered to Congress on some sort of disc, either a CD or a DVD, and only one copy was given to the committee chairman.
Looking at it that way.
Yeah, and only one copy was given to the committee chairman. Beyond that, the report was specifically restricted so that you couldn't search it.
What?
Yes, it was not searchable, and that's in PDFs. That's a choice you have to make it non-searchable.
Wow, they really do not want us to have the.
They don't
details.
Want anybody to read it. Now, yeah. the New York Times and Washingtonian Magazine have searchable copies, so that's where you should go if you want to see that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Liz.
Also, it's going on Amazon too. Amazon will be distributing it in a book form too. I read that the other day.
That is great.
So the other thing that I wanted to say, as far as impeachment goes, I think from, you know, like your caller that you had before, Chris, who asked about the one Democrat that was mentioned,
right.
That I think that there are too many people, you know, we are way too divided in this country. And if we start in with impeachment, I just think we're really opening up such a huge problem. I think if they just let the information out there, we've honestly, we've got until what? We've got 2 years to go into another administration. You know, we've got about a year and a half until the next election, and to go into impeachment proceedings, we're looking at that length of time in the first place. So I personally feel like we just need to get that information out there. The people need to be educated. The voters need to be educated on what happened. And I think that when voters, if they honestly allow themselves to open their mind up and listen to and read about what actually happened,
yeah,
I'm going to go into a different administration. And otherwise, I feel like we've got too many angry people that are on the far right.
At the same time, Elizabeth Warren. Yesterday in her calling for impeachment proceedings to begin in Congress. First of all, I think it's Congress's job to do this because
it's their job to investigate it. It absolutely is. It is their job to investigate it.
But
they need to let that information out.
I know, but when they just let it out there and don't really pursue impeachment proceedings, then I think that could ultimately be more damaging. Here's what Elizabeth Warren said. I think it really makes sense. The severity of this misconduct demands that elected officials in both parties set aside political considerations and do their constitutional duty. That means the House should initiate impeachment proceedings. And she was tweeting yesterday, to ignore the president's repeated efforts to obstruct an investigation it would be dangerous.
Let me just say the dichotomy between what you two are talking about is the difference between the political argument and the constitutional argument. You are making a valid political argument, which, by the way, you share with Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah,
she has the same viewpoint.
I'm aware of that.
Yeah, she has the same viewpoint as you do, and that in terms of election, it's probably the safer bet to go that route. But in terms of, you know, how you get elected is one thing, but once you have the job, you have certain constitutional responsibilities.
That's right.
And my viewpoint, which I share with maybe Elizabeth Warren, is that you don't have an option not to impeach if impeachment is called for. Even if it hurts you, even if it's not the best choice, you have a constitutional responsibility to impeach.
Exactly.
And that's the difficulty.
We're going to have to take a short break. Liz, thank you so much for calling in. Joe, hang on the line. We'll get to you on the other side of this break. And you are listening to The Victoria Steele Show. And we're back. You caught us talking off air. We're back with the Victoria Steele Show and my guest co-host, Jimmy Zuma. And we're talking all things Mueller today. And joining us on the telephone, and you too can join us, the number is 520-790-2040. 520-790-2040. And Joe, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. You guys are rocking the mics this morning.
Yeah, we are.
Thank
we
you,
know
Joe.
It, too. We're having fun.
Well, hey, and some interesting points and some interesting callers generating some interesting discussion.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I'll tell you what. I have said this a long time ago, and to me, this is really, you know, my words ring true. This is the Democrats' Benghazi. Okay, and this comes from lack of discussion in these power circles, and this is like Rachel Maddow and the whole, you know, this like the walls are closing in, every doom is imminent, it's coming tomorrow, indictments, this, that, the other thing. But you know what? Of all these people that we can go down all that list, and you know, from Paul Manafort to Maria Butina, nobody. There was not election collusion going on. Were there fraudulent business dealings? You bet there were. Just like Trump, his whole thing is, I mean, you know that guy is as dirty as a day is long. But you know what? He's been doing that for 50 years that he's been around the corporate world. And when you pull back those curtains, you're going to find other people that it's not going to be convenient to out this whole system because there's going to be power Democrats involved at certain levels. It's the connectivity between Paul Manafort to John Podesta. You know, John Podesta, by the way, that hack, that was a phishing attack.
That was a hack of John Podesta, but the connection to Manafort is to Tony Podesta, which is his conservative brother.
Tony Podesta is going to hook up to John Podesta, trust me. That's why he has the biggest lobbying firm there.
Interesting.
They founded that together, and now it's closed.
Yeah. So, but that's my point. And this is like, and what this has been is just like a real exercise in futility. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't be an investigation. I'm just saying when you go all in and you go with this and we end up the way that it has and that it's shown and all the redaction, this is all systems that operate this way. And I'll tell you this again, I've said this from the beginning, this NIC resistance by Washington insiders from the big corporate Democratic side, this is really assistance to Trump. And we're seeing it through 50% of the people just feel like it has been a witch hunt. This
well,
thing
I think
is not panning out.
So, Joe, are you in favor of an impeachment process?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you want to ask me for whether it's strategy or whether laws, if you've got the what happened on the books, I'd say okay. But when Gerald Nadler, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, they're all sending signals like, hey, you know what? We ain't doing this. What I will tell you is that, A, if you want to do it for strategy, you better keep it for potential 2020, because if we keep showing up with no political diet, and by the way, I would love to hear you, Jimmy, I'd love to hear you talk about Bernie Sanders for once. Now, that's a side note. Because
I'm not a fan.
You know what? You left him out. I listened to you on John C. Scott, and you went through all the top runners in the Democratic Party. You didn't even name Bernie Sanders. So
yeah, I'm not a fan.
I say that as a side note. I know this is more about Mueller, but
yeah, let's keep it to this today.
Democrats in 2020, though, and it's President Trump, because we've been jerking around, bringing up all these things that don't matter and really empowering Republicans. But then we got problems. Then you might want to save that impeachment move for 2021, 2022 as a strategy.
Okay. All right. And so Joe, I want to thank you for your call. You always have great impassioned points to make. And I really enjoy listening to you. Thank you for participating.
That was a very smart call.
Yeah, it was.
These have all been smart calls.
These have been great calls this morning. I think there are risks either way, but I wanted to get back to the obstruction part.
Right.
We really haven't talked enough about the obstruction. We talked about the collusion and that piece of the report. Let's talk
And Joe, just to say, read the report. Part one, there's ample evidence of collusion. There's piles of evidence of collusion. There's just not proof it was a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
On to obstruction. Now, in the obstruction part, part two of the report, there's incontrovertible evidence that Trump engaged in obstruction. His firing of James Comey for Russian reasons, his obsequious secretiveness with the Russians.
Why would he lie? I mean, there are some things that he was kind of lying about.
Right. Yeah. The efforts to remove the special counsel, he says he let him do his work, but that's not true. He tried to get Jeff Sessions to fire him. He tried to get Corey Lewandowski to get Jeff Sessions to fire him. He tried to get Don McGahn to fire him, and Don McGahn just flat out said no. John McGahn was a White House lawyer.
Yeah, these people, I mean, he wanted to collude. He wanted to obstruct the investigation.
Right.
He clearly tried really hard to make that happen. And the only reason that it's not in here is that some of his key people just said, nope, I'm not crossing that line.
Right. The only thing that saved him from de facto obstruction that Mueller would report was that people said no. And that's not how it works in government. People say that's normal. Republican operatives will be telling you that's normal today, but that's not normal. Usually what happens is the president said, I want to do something. And the aide says, well, you can't, Mr. President. That's illegal. And the president says, well, let's figure out a different plan then, because I don't break the law. You know, that's what normally happens.
This guy just kept pushing, saying, you will do this.
Right.
And
he kept trying to find somebody to do his dirty.
And then he would fire them if they wouldn't.
Right. And he really, you know, tried to hobble the Jeff Sessions, tried to get him to unrecuse himself over and over and over. Now, it turns out Jeff Sessions was a subject of the investigation, too, because he had significant contacts with Russians prior to the election. Yeah. So he was named as a person of investigation. There's Michael Flynn. There's Paul Manafort. These are all people that helped him engage in obstruction, and he promised them that, just hang on, you'll get a pardon.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the old adage, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's a fire.
Right, there's a fire here.
There's a big old barn fire. This rivals Notre Dame fire.
Right.
You know, Chicago is burning, Washington is burning. There's a fire here. There's
and Michael Cohen's testimony talked about how Trump does this, tries to get other people to do his dirty
right.
work. Now, Trump's kind of a coward himself. But he will certainly try to manipulate or demand that other people do his dirty work. And he surrounds himself with people who are like him that will do his dirty work.
So is there any bribery in here?
Yeah, I think there is. It's not in this report. But the thing we know about bribery is that $50 million disappeared from the president's inaugural campaign. Mm-hmm. Number one, it disappeared. Mm-hmm. We do know that the Chinese national hosted a party at Mar-a-Lago and charged quite a bit of money for it. And afterwards, that money disappeared, to which his response was, that money went exactly where it was supposed to go, but I don't want to tell you where that is.
Wow.
So that's absolutely a
chutzpah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Seriously, you don't want to tell us.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know why you don't want to tell us.
So is Trump and his family out of hot water?
Not at all.
How do you say that? What do you mean?
Well, Mueller said two things. One is it's up to Congress to remedy this problem with the Russians. But on this obstruction, he said that after the president leaves office, he can be charged, he can be investigated and charged with a crime. And that's why he's preserving this evidence for that purpose.
He also said it when it was fresh.
He also said that he believes in a full FBI investigation will find it.
All right, Jimmy, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It is just a delight to have you back. I love that give and take between us. It's
right.
So cool. And we're gonna make hay with that.
Yeah, I can't believe that was an hour.
I can't. It's going so fast. We just have seconds left. If you'd like to be a sponsor of the show, well, don't bother right now. We'll talk to you about it later. Join us next Saturday morning at 9 for an inside perspective as we discuss other top issues of the week on the Victoria Steele Show.